ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 81 द लॉर्ड ब्लेसेस सुदामा ब्राह्मण। सिंस वी आर बिगिनिंग अ न्यू चैप्टर वी विल फर्स्ट रीड द समरी ऑफ द चैप्टर। दिस चैप्टर डिस्क्राइब्स हाउ लॉर्ड कृष्णा एट अ मॉर्सल ऑफ द फ्लैट राइस ब्रॉट बाय हिज फ्रेंड सुदामा एंड बेस्टाउड अपॉन हिम वेल्थ ग्रेटर than that of the king of heaven. In the course of his loving talks with his friend Sudama, Lord Krishna said, "My dear Brahman, have you brought any gift for me from home? I regard as very significant even the smallest offering from my loving devotee." But the poor Brahman was ashamed to present Krishna with his meager gift of flat rice. However, since Lord Krishna is a super soul dwelling in all hearts, he knew why Sudama had come to visit him. So he grabbed the bundle of flat rice Sudama was hiding and ate a handful of it with great pleasure. He was about to eat a second morsel when Rukmini Devi stopped him. Feeling as if he had gone back to Godhead, Sudama spent that night comfortably in Lord Krishna's palace, and the next morning he set off for home. As he passed along the highway, he thought of how fortunate he was to have been so honored by Sri Krishna. Absorbed in this meditation, Sudama arrived at the place where his home used to be, and he was struck with wonder. Instead of his broken down house, he saw a series of opulent palaces. While he stood astonished, a group of beautiful men and women came forward to greet him with singing and music. The Brahman's wives, wonderfully adorned with celestial jewelry, came out of the palace and welcomed him with great love and reverence. Sudama entered his home together with her, thinking that this extraordinary transformation must have been due to the Supreme Lord's mercy on him. From then on, Sudama lived his life amidst lavish wealth. Yet he maintained his mood of detachment and constantly chanted the glories of Lord Krishna. In a short time, he broke off all bonds of bodily attachment and attained to the kingdom of God. Text 1. श्री शुक उवाच स इत्थं द्विज मुख्येन सह संकर्तयन् हरि सर्वभूत मनोविज्ञा स्मयमाना उवाच तम्। श्री शुक उवाच स इत्थं द्विज मुख्येन सह संकर्तयन् हरि सर्वभूत मनोविज्ञा स्मयमाना उवाच तम्। श्रीशुक उवाच स इत्थं द्विज मुख्येन सह संकर्तयन् हरि सर्वभूत मनोविज्ञा स्मयमाना उवाच तम्। Matajis. Shri Shuka Uvacha, Shukadev Goswami said, Saha, he, Itham, in this manner, Dvija, of Brahmanas, Mukhyena, with the best, Saha, together, Sankatayan, conversing, Hari, Lord Hari, Sarva, of all, Bhuta, living beings, Mana, the minds, Abhigya, who knows perfectly, Smayamana, smiling, Vacha, said, Tam, to him. The translation is for text 1 and 2 together, so we'll just read text 2. Brahmanya Brahmanam Krishna Bhagavan Prahasan Priyam Premna Nirikshan Na Neiva Prekshan Khalusatam Gati. Shukadeva Goswami said, Lord Hari, Krishna, perfectly knows the hearts of all living beings and is especially devoted to the Brahmanas. While the Supreme Lord, the goal of all saintly persons, conversed in this way with the best of the twice born, he laughed and spoke the following words to that dear friend of his, the Brahman Sudama, all the while smiling and looking upon him with affection. Purport. According to Srila Sridhar Swami, the words Sarva Bhuta Mano Vigya indicate that since Lord Krishna knows the minds of everyone, he could tell at once that his friend Sudama had brought some flat rice for him and was ashamed to present it. According to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti's further explanation of this verse, Lord Krishna smiled at this moment, thinking, Yes, I am going to make you show what you brought for me. His smile then turned to laughter as he thought, How long are you going to keep this precious gift hidden in your cloth? Krishna glanced toward the bundle hidden inside his friend's garment, telling Sudama by his loving glance, The veins showing through your emaciated skin and your ragged clothes astonish everyone present. But these symptoms of poverty will last only till tomorrow morning. Although Lord Krishna is Bhagavan, the Supreme Independent Lord, He is always pleased to reciprocate with those who are priya, His cherished servants. As the indulgent patron of the Brahman class, He especially enjoys favoring Brahmanas who are additionally qualified by unconditional devotion to him. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapadakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savabhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Pada Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhanvitamsha E Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Brindavaneshwari Rishabano Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Paditanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. Extremely humble to be sitting here in this position, especially in front of all the exalted Vaishnavas and begging for the blessings of the senior devotees, Prabhupada disciples, His Holiness Jayadvaita Swami Maharaj and all of you. So, just like the purport says, and even quoting Srila Sridhar Swami, he's focusing on the words, the third line of the verse which is there on the board, Sarva Bhuta Mana Vigyam, indicates that Lord Krishna knows the minds of everyone. So if we actually reflect, we have heard so many times, and it is actually mentioned in the Shastras also, that the highest pleasure in this world is in the material world. There are so many different kinds, different varieties of pleasure. But the highest pleasure in this world is material enjoyment is this great overrated three-letter word, sex. But if you actually closely analyze, there is also another pleasure which perhaps is very much underrated. And this pleasure is the pleasure of being understood by someone else. If you actually think about it, if you have somebody in your, in your association or somebody you know who understands your heart fully, who's able to understand your personality nicely, sometimes we take them for granted. But if we are in a situation wherein we are misunderstood, or we find ourselves like others are not able to understand us fully, so then it can be like a very, very miserable situation. We may be enjoying all the material facilities in the world. We may have great power, great opulence. But if we find that nobody is really able to connect with me, nobody is able to really understand me, it can be a really disturbing situation for us. So, relationship experts or lifestyle coaches, or whatever you may call them nowadays, they are very much in vogue. They mention that communication or a connection is the key by which we can understand others and others can understand us. So now, it's easier said than done. Okay, you just have like a great communication in the relationship and everything works out. But generally, it doesn't work that way actually. In fact, somebody was recently sharing with me some statistics which was saying that just like in a communication, there is a person who's speaking and there is a person who is listening. So even if the person communicating is fully focused on giving his message and wants to convey his feelings and he's putting his whole heart into the communication, and even if the person who is receiving the communication is very much alert and open to receiving the information, the ideas, still statistics show that even though both parties are so sincere in, you know, having a dialogue and having a communication with each other, statistics show that over 50% of the information gets lost. So what to speak about our, you know, day-to-day communication wherein, you know, both the parties, like either one party or the other party is not so sincere, not so focused on the communication, or more or less it happens that both the parties are not so, you know, sincere in communicating. So you can imagine the kind of confusion and things that happen. In fact, I just very recently, somebody I know was put through this because of this. I won't take names, but it's a very interesting thing. He was approached by one devotee and was told that, please, can you just, you know, kind of encourage my brother to, you know, take up Krishna consciousness. He was like coming on and off to the temple, but, you know, he was not so regular. So can you come to the, can you just encourage my brother? So this person started telling, okay, you know, calling up the brother and saying, okay, where are you? Why don't you come? You know, it's a nice festival we are having, nice program, come for Shayan Darshan, nice kirtans. After a few weeks, what happened is that this person, the brother, got so fed up, he perceived it as pushing. And he went and complained to some authority. And that authority went and kind of became hard on the person who was, you know, encouraging. So if you just analyze this whole scenario from what we just discussed about communication, you know, there is this person who had a need for his brother being encouraged. So he tried to help out his brother by going and telling this other person, come, please come and help my friend. But what he wanted, you know, to the degree that he could have gone ahead and encouraged, that perhaps was not communicated so effectively. And that person on the other end took it in another way, and he started pushing it so hard that this person went and complained to the authority, and the authority, just see, he's getting a communication from the person who's being pushed, and perhaps he's had a bad experience with this, you know, the original person before, so hence it became such a big mess. So that's why, you know, communicating to understand and being understood is so difficult. And this is just, you know, trying, this the point so we are trying to drive is, you know, understanding the heart of someone else. It is such a tall order actually. We can't even understand what's going on in our heart. What to speak about trying to understand what is happening in someone else's heart and expressing that and being able to connect with that and, you know, adjust according to that. So, and this is just among the living entities now, and so that's why it's so easy for God to understand our hearts and all our heart. That shows the power of God actually. And what to speak about any living entity trying to understand God's heart, you know, the reverse direction. You know, I'm trying to build this up just to show that, you know, a living entity trying to attempt to understand what's going on in God's heart, that's like almost impossible to conceive of. Like we have this wonderful example of Srila Rupa Goswami. Srila Rupa Goswami, he is the, you know, main person who's under whose guidance we are all serving, trying to serve our Guru and Gauranga. Srila Rupa Goswami, he is the person who laid down the Siddhanta for all time to come so that all of us do not deviate and reach our goal as soon as possible. So this example of Rupa Goswami is there when he was staying in Jagannath Puri. He was staying in Haridas Thakur's house with Haridas Thakur in his hut actually, not a house. And Rupa Goswami felt himself very lowly because he had, you know, he was employed with a Nawab. So he said he was not really fit to enter the Jagannath Puri temple, so he would stay with Haridas Thakur. So one day Rupa Goswami, you know, we all know the story, but it is so nice to repeat it and just see the level of, you know, who our predecessor acharyas are, you know. So I'll just, you know, repeat it and let's relish it together. So Rupa Goswami, you know, composed a verse just like that, just before going to bath. It's not like, you know, he just sat and meditated for long. Just composed a verse before and then just, and he was kind of very embarrassed, and because he was humble, he didn't kind of go to his friends, hey, Haridas Thakur, just see what I've composed, you know, show around the people in Jagannath Puri, look, you know, what a verse. He just composed something, wrote something down, and then was kind of embarrassed to share it with somebody, so he just kind of folded it and put it in the, you know, roof of the hut, and then went for his bath. So every day, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because the devotees of the Lord would not come to visit him in Jagannath Puri, Lord Jagannath, in the form of Sri Chaitanya, would every day come to Haridas Thakur's house with the Mahaprasad of Jagannath. So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu reached there, by chance he just saw that paper in the roof of the hut, and he removed the paper, and he looked at it and said, you know, and he was like astonished. Because what was there in the verse is that when, you know, every, we all know the Siddhanta, that, you know, the truth, that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was Sri Krishna himself who had come to taste the mellows or the bhav of Srimati Radharani. So every year when the Jagannath Rath Yatra used to be there, Mahaprabhu would stand in front of the cart and he would sing some songs, okay, in quotes, which would not be so understandable to the, you know, others present there, because it would be something like a love song. Oh my beloved, where are you? I'm just paraphrasing. What is all this that you have won? Come with me to the Yamuna. You know, let's go there and be there in our original position. So Rupa Goswami wrote, you know, and nobody could understand his mood. And Rupa Goswami is that verse that he put in the, you know, roof, what he composed, was actually exactly reflecting the innermost mood of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was shocked, stunned actually, astonished. And then he asks Swarup Damodara Goswami that how come, you know, my dear Swarup, please tell me, because Swarup Damodara was considered to be the most intimate associate of the Lord. So he asked Swarup Damodara Goswami's opinion, how come this, you know, this boy, Rupa Goswami, knows my heart so well, you know. So this is a giveaway actually, because even the Lord admits that it is not easy to know his heart. You know, even the Lord is admitting here that how can a living entity who is just 1/10,000 part of the tip of the hair is able to understand so clearly my feelings and the innermost ecstasy which I try to keep concealed as far as possible. So then Swarup Damodara Goswami says that, my Lord, this simply shows that you have bestowed your full mercy upon this boy, Rupa Goswami. That's why Rupa Goswami is able to understand your heart so well. So, and Mahaprabhu agrees, yes. When I first saw Rupa and Sanatan, I was so impressed by their demeanor and by their devotion and by their eagerness for the Lord, that I invested all my potencies in them and empowered them to be able to spread this message of Krishna Bhakti. So that is why this is so, this topic about understanding the heart of God is such a esoteric topic and subject matter. What exactly is this, you know, heart of God? And if we come to think about it, is there any way that, you know, we at our level, okay, at whatever stage of bhakti we are in, is it possible for us to understand that what does God actually want? Of course, one standard answer that we have been taught is that we approach submissively to, you know, those devotees who are very advanced and within whose heart the will of the Lord is revealed, and they in turn pass down to us that whatever is the will of God. But if we analyze from the Shastras under the guidance of the Parampara, then there is you know another aspect to this, another deeper aspect to this, which we can always meditate on. And if we know this deeper aspect, which is common for all of us at all times for everybody, then perhaps our inspiration to perform devotional service may increase, if we simply know that, you know, what does God want from me right now? Because this approaching the advanced devotee may not be always so possible on a practical level, on a day-to-day life basis. So, let's see whether the Shastras give us any clue as to what does God want. Actually, if we analyze, the Vedic scriptures, we find the Bhagavatam is full of it, the second canto speaks about it, the third canto speaks about it, that consciousness is the root of all reality, is the source of all reality. And Janmadi Asya Yatha, God is the source of all reality, including the consciousness. So we learn that God is the supreme consciousness and we are finite consciousness. So just like Prabhupada gives us this example, there is this oceanic sea, okay, and there is this drop of seawater. The seawater drop is always different from the ocean. But at the same time, Prabhupada tells us that it may not be possible for us to study the ocean on a whole. We are not of that competency. But if we simply study the drop, the characteristics, okay, there is so much salt in this, so much minerals in this, now what are the other characteristics? We may be able to come to a conclusion by extrapolating that information that perhaps the ocean is like this. Definitely to understand God exactly as He is impossible. But if we analyze that small drop or, you know, the characteristics of the jiva, we may be able to reach, you know, some direction in which, okay, the Lord is, this characteristic the Lord has. So basically, if we analyze the jiva, what does the consciousness want? Basically, the ultimate aim of consciousness, ourselves, is anandamayo bhyasat. We all want to be happy. And this happiness, it can come from many places. People are trying to be happy through many different activities and many trying to acquire so many things. But ultimately, the original of all happiness is the real or imitation perception of being loved. So in other words, we can call that love is the soul of all happiness. And what is that love? If you actually see, love means that the essence of love. Okay, what does the consciousness want? The consciousness wants to be happy. And how to become happy is to being loved. And essence of that love is a desire to please. Now, this is very interesting that when you say, I want to love somebody, it does not just mean that, you know, you do something for that person. If you want to please that person, if you want to serve that person, you have to do something. But more or less, what actually love, if you like kind of analyze it further, is the desire to focus my consciousness on another consciousness in order to, you know, in order to make the effort to learn what pleases the other and then strive to deliver it. Okay, I'll just give you an example. Let's say, you know, there is like a, you know, rich man and, you know, he wants to express his love to his wife. So he buys a diamond ring and gives it to the wife. But suppose, you know, he just gives the ring to the wife and then completely neglects her and doesn't give any attention or, you know, doesn't try to, you know, fulfill her needs or pay attention to her. Simply that diamond ring or that gift, he may think that, you know, he's trying to show that he loves her, but, you know, the wife will not perceive it in that way because he is not focusing his attention on her needs. Similarly, it's like, you know, for small kids, if we, you know, if the parents, instead of spending time with the kid, somehow gives them toys and some other activities and said that, okay, you be engaged with that, instead of giving them time, attention, focus, normally what happens is that the kid does not develop fully and, you know, holds resentment toward the parents because and doesn't feel that the parents have loved me enough. He or she may be getting all the facilities, but just because that focus and attention was not maintained on the kid becomes, you know, because of the lack of love, he feels a emptiness. So, therefore, it's seen that the focus to please is more important than the expression that symbolizes it. So, in summary, you know, if we just go back again, what does consciousness want? Consciousness wants to be happy. And that happiness is, love is the soul of that happiness. And that essence of love is the focus and the attention that we give to the object of love. And being the object of that love is actually what we want. What we want is that some other consciousness should feel that it is worthwhile to put their attention and focus on, you know, on us, and simply by putting, you know, focus and attention on us, that other consciousness will become happy. That is what, you know, we actually want. So if we just, you know, extrapolate it and we see it from, you know, God's point of view, God wants to be happy. And if God wants to be happy, He wants that love from each and every one of us. And that's why this is so inspiring, because, you know, so that love of that individual jiva, that is a prerogative of that living entity alone. Okay, no one else can love God for him, because what God wants is, God wants our love on an individual basis. And how we can express that love is we serve him and love him in a focused manner. God wants to see that simply by loving him, by serving him and putting all our energy and focus on loving him, we are happy. And how do we do that? That's why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came in this age to teach us that the most simple and most effective way of loving God is by chanting the holy names of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. The more we strive to increase the depth, the purity, and the focus of chanting the names of the Lord, we are trying to show the Lord that how much you are important for me and how much I am trying to focus my attention and consciousness on loving you and pleasing you. So specifics may differ. Like some devotees, you know, like God may want something more from some devotees, some other thing from certain other devotees at that specific time. But overall, if you see that this is what God wants from each and every one of us, to be able to love Him and serve Him in such a focused way that we feel that it is valuable to be able to serve the Lord and become happy. And if we become happy, and if we please the Lord and make the Lord happy, then we'll also be happy. And vice versa, if the Lord sees that we are very happy serving Him, He also becomes happy. So that's my very simple and short presentation for today. Hare Krishna. Is there any questions or clarifications? Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.